إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we talked about the story of Nuh alayhi salam and Adam alayhi salam yesterday and also day before yesterday. And in the story of Nuh alayhi salam, one of the big lessons as far as we are concerned is the steadfastness with regard to his da'wah. The ability to stay on track despite facing difficulties and despite facing failures. And not just stay on track for some time, but for a completely amazing period of time, which is 950 years, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned the number. So it's not a matter of conjecture, it's not a matter of saying, 70 doesn't necessarily mean 70, it means a lot or something. Here a specific number has been mentioned of 950. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take note of this fact that as far as the work of deen is concerned, what is required is steadfastness. And the fact that difficulties come does not mean that what you are doing is failing or what you are doing is not successful, because success and failure in the end is only one, and that is the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the work, then you are successful. If Allah is not pleased with the work, then you are a failure, no matter how many followers or no matter how many murids you attracted to your cause. Yesterday in the bayan that we heard last night, Maulana mentioned this thing specifically with regard to the example given with respect to rain and the different kinds of land the rain falls on, and that allegory refers to the acquisition of knowledge and the different kind of people who acquire the knowledge. So there are people who acquire the knowledge and they practice and they also teach, which is the ideal situation. But you also have people who acquire knowledge but do not practice, but they teach. So now, and the example that was given was that it's like the Mujaddid al-Fisani rahmatullahi alayhi, his example where he said it's like the washerman, the dhobi, who washes people's clothes, and he's standing in the sun, so he's getting sunburnt. So it's not adding to anything to him, but the clothes are getting white. So people who don't practice, they know, so the knowledge has not been converted into, it's actually information has not been converted into knowledge, because information gets converted into knowledge only by practice, by experiencing it. So they have information, they convey that information, they're running big, maybe classes or conferences or God knows what. So they have a lot of people, and those people benefit from them. It's not as if the people who come there do not benefit. They benefit. But this person himself does not benefit. And because the person does not practice the knowledge, then may Allah protect us from this, the knowledge becomes a hujjat against them. The knowledge actually becomes a witness against them on the Day of Judgment, which is a terrible situation to be in, because here you are, and because of you, so many people were guided to Islam, were guided to the right path, but you yourself are probably somewhere else, and that's a terrible situation, right? It's like, for example, somebody who might be reciting Quran as an imam, and because of his beautiful voice, the people behind him are in a great state of khushu and they are able to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their salah is beautiful, but this person reciting, the imam himself, is doing it to please people, so he is actually committing shirk in his recitation. So he is not going to get benefit of that recitation. As a matter of fact, he will be punishable for it, but the people behind him are benefiting. So this is a tragic situation. One must be very careful with that. So we saw this. So therefore, the point I want to make is that with Nuh alayhi salam's history, the lesson we learn is that steadfastness and the single-minded purpose of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only thing which counts. So don't get distracted by how many people come to your, to listen to you, or how many people are convinced, and how many people change themselves or don't change themselves. It doesn't matter. What matters is whether Allah is pleased with that work. And in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him success. So the real success is that. The second lesson we learned from the story of Nuh alayhi salam, and this lesson is true for him and also in the Quran with different other people, with Ibrahim alayhi salam, with Lut alayhi salam, and also with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also in the Quran, is the issue of the importance of individual effort and individual belief. The major message to say that who you are related to, who you are associated with, all of this does not count before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if your own actions are against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you have not brought faith on Allah, if you have not believed in Islam, if you are not doing good things, just because you are the son or related to a great alim or a great wali of Allah, or in this case Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the example of the highest of them, which are the anbiya. There is no wali who is bigger than a nabi in terms of his daraja. So no matter which wali, no matter what alim, no matter who, Allah gave the example, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covered all forms of relationships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the example of the son of a Nabi in the case of Musa alayhi salam, in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is in the fire because his amal is ghayru salih. Allah said his actions are not good actions. Right? So son of a Nabi doesn't save you from the punishment of Allah just because my father is a Nabi. Then the father of a Nabi, which is Ibrahim alayhi salam, the father of the Nabi doesn't save him from being in the fire because he is the father of the Nabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is very poignant points that we have to think. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day of judgment, Ibrahim alayhi salam, because he was a very soft-hearted person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah said he is very soft-hearted. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions specifically about Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment, Ibrahim alayhi salam, even there, he will still ask for forgiveness for his father. And he will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, you told me you will not humiliate me before people. And if my father is thrown into the fire, I will be humiliated. I mean, people will know this is the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he will be told, look down. And he will see there a monitor lizard, a dab. And he will be told, that is your father. So he is going into the fire. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting him into the fire in a way which does not humiliate Ibrahim alayhi salam. So nobody knows what this is. So what is the message there? The message is that no matter whether your son is a Khalilullah, makes no difference. If you did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you did not do the right things, then the fact that your son is the father of Anbiya, Khalilullah, very, very special position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not help you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Lut alayhi salam and the wife of Lut alayhi salam. So here is the wife of a Nabi. Doesn't save you if you don't do the right things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the other side of it, which is Asiya radiallahu anha, the wife of Fir'aun. So she was a woman of Jannah. But the fact that she was the wife of Fir'aun does not save Fir'aun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And specifically in the Quran is his uncle Abu Lahab. His father's own brother. And not mentioned in the Quran, but we know from the seerah also Abu Talib. Died without iman. So the fact that, and Abu Lahab and Abu Talib is also very, very important to understand. Abu Lahab died without iman opposing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Abu Talib died without iman supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here was somebody who loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ashiq-e-rasul, but did not believe in him as a rasul. He loved him as a son. He loved him as a nephew. He supported him as a person, and complete support. I think in the seerah it's very difficult to find someone who was a bigger supporter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam than Abu Talib. He gave everything, even though he had other children and so on, but he showered everything on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. but died without iman. He declared that. He said, I am dying on the religion of my forefathers. So even just ishq of the Rasul, just loving the Rasul does not help you if you do not follow the Rasul. Hum urdu bolte hain Rasul ko manna aur Rasul ki manna, ye farq hai isme dono mein. So the sign of love is obedience. So in the story of Nuh alayhi salam is this waqia, and of course the surah describes this, where his son Nuh alayhi salam tells him, come into the boat, save yourself. He says, I will climb the mountain, and the mountain will asimuni min al ma, it will save me from the fire. And Nuh alayhi salam says, today nothing will save except the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a wave came and that was the end of him. So the issue that bad deeds and behavior of that kind doesn't get you anywhere, no matter who you are related to. And that's a big message as far as all of us are concerned, to say that one must be very clear with regard to one's actions, because at the end of the day, it is only those actions which will save us, and it is not relationship to this person or that person, no matter how good they were, if we do not do what we are supposed to do individually. And that's the reason why it is so important to ensure that individually we behave, we learn the religion and we practice the religion. This is a very evil kind of a society that or way of living that we seem to have developed, where we expect all obedience and so on to come either from the ulama. So we have created this separate caste, for want of a better word, of people who are supposed to obey God instead of us. Simple thing, I will tell you, how many people know how to call the iqama correctly? And people who pray regularly, they make all kinds of mistakes. Why? Who stops you from taking interest to learn how to do? It's a shameful thing. But they do that and they're not ashamed. How many people know to recite, Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless both of our imams to are teaching people how to tajweed of Quran in this itikaf. But I'm saying, how many of us take the trouble to learn tajweed of Quran? If somebody who's speaking English and he speaks badly, non-grammatically, or instead of some issue with the accent and so on, you laugh at him. But the same person recites the Quran incorrectly, he is not ashamed, nobody else is ashamed. Half the time the others don't even know what mistake he made, because that's the beauty of ignorance. We really have to wake up. How many homes are there where the children know more deen than their parents? Why is it that you are not ashamed of this? You should be ashamed. So make the effort, go sit with the teachers, and alhamdulillah, at least in our countries here, there is no shortage of teachers, there is no shortage of people who are willing to teach you, and most of them will teach you for nothing. They will be happy to teach you for free. In any case, why must you only look for for that? Go and learn. And I'm talking about the basics. I'm not saying go and learn usul of fiqh. I'm saying basic things, how to lead 2 rakat of salah. How many people know how to pray salat, lead salatul janazah, for example? In many places, and it's a stand, it's like a drama. Here the body of the father is there, a body of the mother is there, and they've got 2, 3, 4 hefty sons, all of them standing in the line. And then you have the imam who's not related to anybody there of the masjid, and the imam will say, aapki ijazat hai, do I have your permission to pray salatul janazah for your father? And he says, yes, please. Because they know if they don't give permission, the father will stay there for the next 3 days. Absolutely shameful. The salatul janazah, the thing is that the son must lead that salah, because he is the one who is bereaved. The pain is in his heart. When he makes dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua. Why should you, why? But we have done this. We have made the, this is, I mean, forgive me for giving the example, but this is a typical Hindu pujari system. You want the pujari to do puja on your behalf. I'm sorry, in Islam there are no pujaris. Nobody prays on your behalf. We have to do our own job, for which we must learn at least basic things. The difference between halal and haram. How many people know the faraid of ghusl? Men and women. Which means you've got 4 or 5 children and you've never had ghusl in your life. How shameful is that? How long does it take to learn the faraid of ghusl? 10 seconds. You don't have 10 seconds? Seriously, this is a very, you know, painful issue, but I think we must pay attention to this thing. Learn at least the basics of this deen, because you can't live a life like this. You say you are a Muslim and this and that, alhamdulillah, bismillahi ta'ala, but, you know, basic simple things like this. How do you make wudu properly? How do you make ghusl properly? Reading the Quran with tajweed, you know, the masail of janaza. How do you give ghusl to the body? Simple things. And remember, I haven't even come to the issue of Jummah Khutbah, because according to me, every Muslim male should be able to lead a Jummah, which means he must be able to give the Khutbah and he must be able to lead the Salah. I'm not talking about the Bayan. Leave that aside. That's okay. If you can't give a speech, that's fine. But the Fard, which is the Arabic Khutbah and the Salah, every single Muslim male should be able to do that. But I have been to masajid, for example, I won't name the masjid, but one masjid here, big congregation. There were, you know, 400 or 500 people there. And the imam comes from somewhere else. The funny thing is that the resident imam in the masjid does not know how to give khutbah. So imam comes from somewhere else. And that day, the imam must have got caught in traffic or God knows what happened. Everyone is sitting there. In that whole 500 people, not one single person knows how to do khutbah. And this other resident imam, poor guy, even he does not know. He's like a mauzan imam combined kind of thing. So he was desperate and suddenly he saw me. So he grabbed me and said, please, aap aake khutbah. Please come and give the khutbah. So I did the khutbah there. How tragic is that? 400 or 500 people, not one knows how to do the Jummah. So really, we have to wake up and learn our own deen. Please understand all this silsila, that silsila, this wasta, that wasta, nothing will work with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the wasta of the Anbiya could not work with the people, their own sons and relatives, believe me, your my wasta and my wasta has no meaning. Each one has to stand on his own as being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, get the basic knowledge and then go forward, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sensitize ourselves to the urgency of this. It is very, very urgent. We don't know how long we have on this earth, and you cannot live in this state of not knowing the basics. We ask Allah to open our eyes to this, open our hearts to this, and enable us to learn what we need to learn and make it easy for us, inshallah, so that we live and practice our deen. And may Allah make that a source of gaining His rida. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.